You do know that a lot of the stock prices you see are old, right? I'm David Brancaccio. Go online to check a stock. You'll probably see a slightly stale price. Want up-to-the-second stuff like the big dogs get? Well, that can be expensive. Brokers think too expensive, the result of too little competition in the market data business. The Securities and Exchange Commission tried to change that, but in a win for stock exchanges, an appeals court has just blocked a section of this competition initiative. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Stock market data used to come on ticker tapes. In the 1970s, Congress updated the system by regulating key information, quote and sell prices, to ensure everyone has equal access for a reasonable fee. That data is delayed a bit, which makes it about as useful as ticker tapes in an era of high-speed electronic trading. In the meantime, stock exchanges created separate proprietary systems of data, faster and with more detailed information, but only for those who can afford the high fees. The Securities and Exchange Commission said this was unfair and disincentivized improving the cheaper core market data streams because the exchanges were in charge of both. In 2020, the agency proposed a set of new rules to limit the power exchanges have to control core data streams by adding brokers and others to the governing committees that manage those streams. And that's the rule the Federal Appeals Court in D.C. struck down, saying Congress had not given the SEC authority to make such a change. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
What's called ESG investing, considering environmental, social, or corporate governance performance when picking a portfolio, is a fast-growing, some say fastest-growing part of the investment management business. At the same time, federal regulators are looking at new rules that make companies disclose the risks of climate change to their businesses, which many businesses oppose. And are too many companies saying but not doing the green thing? For instance, an investment arm of Deutsche Bank was raided in Germany a few weeks ago by investigators looking for evidence of what's called greenwashing. And when it comes to other financial firms selling investment funds labeled as sustainable, are they actually using their power as shareholders to use their proxy votes to push the firms in their portfolios to do better? Well, let's turn to a pioneer in what was first called socially responsible investing. It's Amy Dominey, founder and chair of Dominey Impact Investments. Thanks for joining us.
Good to speak with you.
What's your sense? Does it debase your industry when you hear news about possible greenwashing to the point that Deutsche Bank's offices get raided in Europe by investigators looking for evidence of greenwashing?
A debase probably is a little bit strong. I do feel as though there are people stumbling as they enter into this field, and they will improve. You do have a situation where companies have a lot of products and they're not consistent with their standards of how to vote their shareholder proxies. If they have green products and are not voting shareholder resolutions in favor of seeking information about the impact on the climate that this company has, that's a pretty big warning sign.
The Securities and Exchange Commission is right now considering rules to require more disclosure from companies on the risks to their businesses of climate change, and some businesses are pushing back hard. Do you think that that rulemaking could be a catalyst for opposition to investing according to ESG principles in general?
Yes, I do think that the push for greater disclosure is leading to a certain amount of push back, but the investor needs to have a greater understanding of risks. And I don't think it's all that new. The 10K has mandated since 1972 that you discuss your environmental risks. It's just very, very poorly reported. And the SEC has not been auditing it and pushing for greater reports. This is a refinement on that earlier theme. But it is not that big a step away from history.
A lower cost way to invest, lower fees, is to have computers run your stock portfolio. So it tracks, you know, the big one is the S&P 500 index. When you screen for environmental, social, governance issues and matters. That requires a human, an active manager, and that raises the costs of having one of those portfolios. As investors look to cut their costs with this terrible stock market we're living with these days, are you concerned that hurts your industry?
Well, there are a number of products out in the world that are run as ETFs or mechanical in the field of ESG. Where the cost argument really does come in is that this is a whole new field of inquiry and with a whole new skill set. So that at some point in the process of building that ETF or that index or that lower cost product out there, the producer is having to hire more sophisticated workforce to put it together. That's a startup cost. Look at the hedge funds. 2% and 20% of profits for what? For trying to do the best job they can. Well, what manager doesn't? So when all of a sudden the public starts yammering about costs, I just think, you know, it's a funny argument.
Amy Dominy is founder and chair of Dominy Impact Investments and has been a longtime advocate for bringing one's values to their investment portfolios. Her latest book is called Thoughts on People, Planet, and Profit. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And there's news this morning that European Union lawmakers have voted to include natural gas and nuclear power in the European definition of what qualifies as an investment in sustainable energy, something environmentalists see as debasing the sustainable label. Natural gas produces less climate-changing gas when burned. With nuclear, the radioactive waste, it's hard to label as sustainable. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.